مرحبا. A warm and hearty welcome, as always, to the program Friday Fusion, your Friday afternoon accompaniment to your dal and rice or biryani, if it may be. Well, whatever it is you're doing this Friday afternoon, we're hoping that you're going to stay with us for the rest of the hour. This Friday afternoon, the 24th of March, the 25th of Jumad al-Ukhra, we actually have a lovely lineup for you. Starting off, inshallah, in the next few minutes after our first ad, we're going to have an interview on our Millennial Muslima segment. And this interview is a special one, I must say, because I'm sure many of you have heard of Sister Safiya Musa, but like really, how many of you know the woman behind the name? Well, here on Radio Islam International, Friday Fusion in particular, with the lovely Sister Safiya Kazi, she has actually arranged for us an interview with Sister Safiya Musa. So in studio with me this afternoon, I have some real vibrancy going on because I have both the lovely Sister Safiya sitting here with me. And inshallah, in a few minutes, you're going to get to hear from both of them. But that's not where it ends off. When we leave off that interview, inshallah, some female masail. As you know, this program, alhamdulillah, has become well known for its female masail. So today we're going to catch up where we left off last week. Last week we were speaking about wudu, not just being wudu, but rather being an ibadah and viewing it from different eyes. Inshallah, we continue from where we left off. And lastly, to end of the program, as we always do, there's the informal scoop with Sister Laika Idris. Well, on the topic of news, if you are in and around Durban, you're probably seeing these big grey plumes of smoke in the air and wondering what's going on. Well, on the other end of Durban, somewhere south, I'm given to believe, there are some containers that are burning, and therefore the smoke is so thick, and you know, most of the horizon is covered in it. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants everyone khair and afiyah, and that nobody is hurt, and that wherever you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you safe. Well, let's go for that first ad break. When we return, inshallah, an interview on our Millennial Muslima segment. Welcome back, and yes, it's the program Friday Fusion. You're with me, Zakira and Sarmia. As I said before the ad break, alhamdulillah, in studio today, we have two beautiful Safiyas, actually. Well, both of them have an interesting bio. Today, inshallah, we're only going to be speaking about one, unfortunately. Well, Sister Safiya Kazi, inshallah, is going to be taking over from this point, and you'll get to hear more about Sister Safiya Musa.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I must say I am so excited to interview Sister Safiya today. You know, I was telling Sister Safiya that I've been a fan from way back, maybe like 12, I'm going to give away my age, but 12 or 13 years when she used to do these workshops, and whenever we would hear that, you know, Safiya Musa was speaking, we'd say, okay, that's a good workshop, you know, that's a worthy workshop to go for. So we've sort of been stalking her for a while, and alhamdulillah, today was the first time I got to meet her, so that was really exciting for me. So let me give you just a brief bio about Sister Safiya Musa. Sister Safiya Musa is a mother of three children and a metaphysical empowerment consultant and life coach based in Johannesburg and Durban. She's also a management training, motivation and development workshop coach. She frequently presents and hosts workshops and seminars, as well as being a guest on various radio stations. She's an established and experienced journey consultant and life coach, and holds an internationally accredited master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, a qualification and a BCom UNISA with a distinction in industrial psychology under her belt. Safiya is also a founder of Spiritual Courts Humanitarian Aid and Sustainable Development Projects, CEO of Spiritual Courts Events, and director of Cybergenics Web Solution. Quite a mouthful, mashallah. Sister Safiya, welcome to our show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and it's really an honor and a privilege for me to be in such good company, and I'm looking forward to spending this time with you.
Jazakallah khair.
Okay, firstly, if you could just explain to our listeners NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Just a brief overview so we can understand.
Well, in a nutshell, neuro-linguistic programming is a label that's given to the study of human excellence. And it happens to be a Eurocentric idea, or rather the label is a Eurocentric idea. It's come from the West, neuro-linguistic programming, based on the people who founded it. They gave it that name. But as a Muslim, I know full well that, call it by whatever you want, the study of human excellence is not a study. It's a hardwired programming of us, and that's done by Allah already. So when I studied these various fields, it was not because I was looking for something to learn. I was looking for expanded techniques to give expression to what Allah has said. And if it does not align itself with Furqan, I'm not interested, because the study of human excellence, Allah has designed. The master architect knows his plan better than anyone else. So I'm not, it's almost like, you know, in times gone by when you wanted to copy anything, you bought it from China. So I'm not willing to, I'd only go for the Rolls Royce. Why would I settle for a Chinese toy model of it? So in the same context, these knowledge, like how we study medicine or how we study law, the legal principles that are most excellent are in the Quran. They may not be implemented. We might be trying bits and pieces of it, but we all go and every lawyer or aspirant lawyer will go and study law at Westville University or Wits University or Cape Town Rhodes, wherever it is they go. But that doesn't mean it's the most excellent justice system. The most excellent justice system is what Allah said. Now Allah said, when He gave Quran to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, He said that today I have perfected for you your deen, and your deen will be submission. We're using Islam as a label. It's not a name. Islam is an adjective, and rather it's a verb. And Muslim is an adjective. Islam means submission. That's an act. You're doing it. It's not a name. It's not a label. It's not a noun. And when we realize, He said, our perfection, our excellence rather, not our perfection. Perfection is for Allah only. Excellence, our excellence would be in submission to Him. Then how do I submit to Allah? Through His commandments. He's given me admonishment. He, Allah, has declared the Quran as a book of admonishment, so that we would know the do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, what He likes, what He doesn't like. And all of that was not to give Him satisfaction, but for our excellence. So legal system, psychological systems, mental systems, emotional systems, interactions, relationships, careers, every aspect of human existence, the excellent manner of it is already been given to us by the master planner, by the master architect of this entire universe Himself. And so while neuro-linguistic program is the study of human excellence, I now pick up little techniques about how to communicate with people in a certain manner, but it has to be hooked to the ayat in Quran where Allah, they may take a whole day to explain good communication in a workshop, and Allah in one ayat says, and greet somebody with salam, and if they greet you first, greet them with an equal or better greeting. So starting with a principle of NLP, one of the first principles is establish a rapport with people. The reason you do that is it opens communication channels. So it gives me detail. But Allah said it in that one summary. What was He actually saying? Allah said, did He actually say just that the fancy part of this whole thing was the utterance of a word, salam? No, He's saying when you encounter somebody, leave them with salamati, with peace, with some feeling of ease and peace, that there was some goodness that they felt out of encountering you. That is a huge, huge instruction on establish rapport with people, leave a good feeling. It opens communication channels, and the communication can be even silent. You can immediately diffuse an argument or diffuse a tense situation by just the salamati you leave with somebody. And it's not the word salam. Salam means peace. It's the actual wanting, the intention, the purity of your greeting means that if somebody says assalamu alaikum and Allah says greet with a better greeting, how can you better the best? What we have to realize is the act of making salam should leave somebody with salamati. And then if somebody's done that to me first, like if you say assalamu alaikum or how are you, and I say I'm fine, thank you, and how are you, and you look so lovely in your beautiful abaya today, whatever, it's leaving a even more goodness with somebody. So when we realize things are not just functional and just labels, when everything has a consequence and a ripple effect, then obviously we want to be the pebbles that are diamond pebbles that have a beautiful ripple effect, so that everything becomes like such enhanced, good quality ripples out of us. And you can be the rotten pebble too, and sometimes we even have off days, we want to be a good pebble and we're just in a bad negative state, and it happens. But there again, Allah addresses how we handle everything we go through. So in a nutshell, coming back to your question, neurolinguistic programming is the study of human excellence, which is just a small way of saying, describing something that's quite big, because it goes into understanding how the mind works with the body, how we respond to the universe. It understands that there's a higher power out there that actually master plans all of this, and that's why all this functions. And that then makes sense to me, because if anything leaves out, if you go to law school, we have a lot of lawyers in the Muslim community, they don't come there and say, listen, hold yourself accountable to God first. That doesn't mean studying law is wrong. If you're going to be a lawyer in this country and apply justice in this country, then you need to know the law of this country. And Allah talks about justice. In fact, justice, I think, is the second or third most repeated word in the Quran. Every version of justice, adl or its variations, is quite repeatedly. Allah is one, ilm is another, so knowledge is also ranks high, and so is justice. So if you're in a field of justice, you're a lawyer, alhamdulillah, you're now living ikra. You've learned and you're giving expression to your learning of something that is so vital in Quran, which is standing for justice. And if you look at the creation of the universe, Allah talks about not without purpose is anything created. Everything was created for just ends. So all of this links to the NLP in the context that we understand how human beings work and how we sabotage ourselves with belief systems in our functioning, our daily life functioning, how we have attitudes and things like that, and how to get yourself out of a sabotaging space and how to enhance where you are from here to your next growth in the best way possible, whether it's health, psychological, career, relationships, or any aspect of life, which is exactly what Quran does in the most masterful way.
But we don't pay attention.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things being active on social media, we were speaking about last night, is that you sort of have a finger on the pulse for what's trending.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays you find this whole concept of NLP and life coaches and all of that that's very trendy at the moment.
Yeah.
But like we were discussing, the very troubling trend is that, you know, it seems to be going, you know, where Muslim people are now taking this and they're not like, if we were buying a laptop, for example, we would, you know, want to know the specs and go into the details of it because we would want to make sure we got the best. But here we are, you know, latching onto a new belief system.
Mm.
And that sort of, being finicky about the belief system or whatever doesn't seem to be there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of people are duped because, you know, a person will say, well, you know, this is the NLP concept. And then they'll throw in a few ayat or a hadith. And, you know, Muslim people are duped into buying it as being part of our aqidah,
mm-hmm.
which it's really not. And what Safiya says is so important, because being an NLP, you know, master practitioner, she puts the Quran first and then the NLP principles thereafter. But we're seeing really a reversal of that, which is something, you know, that is really very troubling.
I think what's happened, and more important, it's got nothing to do with NLP or any field of study, is the reality that we've lost connection with Quran. You must remember, I know there's a naat I listen to, it was so beautiful that every time I listen to this line, I tear with it, okay? And so if I start getting all emo on you on air, you know why. But I'm not going to start singing because that will make everybody else tear. So I'll just tell you what it means, okay? It was a beautiful naat by Najm Shiraz. And he said that kitab was ready when the creation of the universe was there. When man was created, when the universe in its entirety was created, Allah had kitab. In other words, he had the instruction for how all this must operate. It was already available because Allah was... Everything created, Allah had a purpose for it. So by virtue of it having a purpose, kitab was there. But who to entrust kitab to so that kitab would become Quran? Because Quran wasn't a recital or a chant. This Quran was a book of instructions. Who could carry the weight of masterful excellence that was prescribed in this kitab that... would be able to hold the weight of such powerful information so that people could see how to be this, okay? And So the Naat goes on to say, and then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the one who was the only one who was able to hold the full weight of Kitab so that it could become Quran. In other words, Quran is the deeper excellence we can aspire to. We can have surface, you can be mediocre, you can be beyond exception. And the full weight of it was in full expression through Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when I hear this Naat and it says, Kitab was ready, but who to give this weighty excellence to? And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was prescribed, it was given this, and even the angels were in awe of the magnificence of somebody being able to give full expression to Allah's commandments in the way Allah gave it. So that is human excellence. Now, if you want to ask me why I'm so fussed up about this human excellence, well, first of all, that is my passion, because not because I'm trying to fix anybody, actually, and with no disrespect to you or your listeners, actually, it's out of full respect I'm saying this. I really am not bothered about you, because right now the Quran was given to me to fix me up. Each of us was given this admonition so we were to fix ourselves up. But we've tended to say, well, I have to fix the world. We have opinions on other people, we have opinions on their behavior, and we always justify ours. And none of us are really saying, but what did Allah want me to do? How did He want it to be? Now, why would I aspire to excellence? Because I know I'm designed that. Why? Because you said so, because Safiya said so, or Zakira said so, or so-and-so, Anthony Robbins, or whoever one of these big speakers are, Deepak Chopra, or any of these people, any of the Muslim ones as well. There's so many people in the world who are doing this. Why? Because they said so? Well, yeah, maybe they did, but I'm not going to believe them because they said so. In fact, I'm not going to believe them in that context, because if Allah said it, and if my kalima is real, this is what hit me, because I realized where I was failing myself in aspiring to excellence. Because whether we ever achieve it, I don't know. I can tell you I know now where the entrance to the nursery school of excellence is. I haven't even stepped in the door of the nursery school part of it, but at least I know where that entrance is. So I'm nowhere near that, but at least I now know which direction to go. And my direction is from the straight way, and my straight way is the Quran. And Allah says in Surah Mulk, ayat number 2, so it's Surah 67 Mulk, ayat number 2, Allah says, and I have created death and life to test which of you is best in your deeds. Now, imagine I invented, the easiest example for me right now is I invented a rocket ship that could go from Earth to Mars in 3 seconds, or in a minute, okay? So I've invented now this rocket ship is ready. NASA is already jealous and excited that some Muslim person in South Africa has invented, and a woman of all things, and in hijab too, has invented this rocket ship that actually launches in South Africa, launches from Durban, right from the studio where Zakira is, and it just goes to Mars in a minute. So when it's ready, and I've designed it for that, am I going to test it to see if it can get to Mars in 2 minutes or 1 minute?
1 minute.
Why?
Because you designed it.
Because that's what it's meant to be.
It was designed for that. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then when I say, will it get to Mars? Will it get from Durban to the other side of the planet in 1 minute, or to Mars in 1 minute?
Mars.
Yeah, obviously, I'm not going to check for a shorter distance if it was designed to go right into intergalactic space and get to Mars in a minute. So the only reason I'm going to test it for that is because it was designed for that. It might pass the test, it might fail, it might not make it in 1 minute, but then I'll know. And it might make it halfway, 3/4 of the way, it might just get there a minute and a second extra later, but then I'll know, right? So it may pass the test or fail the test in different ways. It could fail it miserably, it could not even launch. But when I'm ready to test it, I'm going to test it for what it was designed for. So if Allah, the Creator Himself, is saying in Surah Mulk that I have created death and life to test which of you is best in your deeds, then what were we designed to be?
Best in deeds.
Best. If we're designed to be the best, why aren't we aspiring to it? Now, where's the information about how to be the best? If I'm a woman, do I need to know how to be the best father? Right. Do I need to know how to be the best son? No. So I need to know how to be the best woman in all the roles. Whether I'm best in speaking to you right now, whether I'm best to my as a daughter, as a sister, as a mother, as whoever else that I have to whatever role I have, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit on this. I know we have to suffer an ad break, so I'm going to elaborate on this, and the fact that Allah said we're the best, what is the implication for me, and then each of us can take it for our own personal selves, because the Quran is intended for each individual.
All right, let's go for our ad then. I'm sure you're also in awe of all this that we're listening to, because subhanAllah, what I'm sitting here thinking is that it's all things we already know. It just, all it needs is for someone to tap into that for you to actually realize, hey, I know this, but I just haven't taken the time to sit down. And it's almost like, you know, when you get to that point of being quiet and having the whole humdrum around you stop, you actually get to listen to your inner self. So, subhanAllah, let's go for an ad when we return, inshallah, a little more with Safiya, Sister Safiya Musa, podcast of the segment of the program. We're going to, unfortunately, have to ask Sister Safiya to wrap up in the next 5 or so minutes. Unfortunately, time is never on our side, but here's some consolation, or here's something that you can, inshallah, look out for. Sister Safiya sitting here, I think she's feeling like really generous in nature right now, and she's promising to come back to us. So in the next 6 weeks or so, we promise to have her back on air right here on the program Friday Fusion. So, yeah, let's hear what Sister Safiya has to tell us in rounding up, inshallah.
Okay, in terms of this, I just think that the one element that we've brought up is that if we want to study human excellence and how to aspire to it, we have to understand that we were actually designed to be that. We were designed to be the best, and that is in Surah Mulk, Surah 67, ayat number 2, where Allah says that I will test you for the best. And giving that example that I did, you'll never create something or invent something or make something. You will never make a cake to be perfectly spongy and then test it to be a flop. You're going to test to see if it's spongy. It might turn out to be a flop, but at least you know that you knew what you set out to do. So if Allah is going to test us, He's going to test us for being the best. I think if we just do this for now, and, you know, maybe inshallah in the future we can elaborate on how individually we can do this, and we can even, you know, take calls if people have questions. They have to ask, like, okay, how do I be the best in this or be the best in that? Let's see if we can together find Allah's recommendations and admonitions to us to take us to that level of best. Because if He's the master creator testing us for the best, it means I was pre-programmed for that. My hardwiring, my software and my hardware was designed to ultimately achieve the best. And what may need some tweaking is the software, because the hardware is always perfect. Allah has designed that perfectly. The software we have some influence over. We make choices. And so our software needs some tweaking and some upgrades regularly. And so let's explore the upgrades that we require to be the best. For now, at least, we have the relief of knowing that I was designed to be the best, because that's what I'm going to be tested for. And so I find it very hard to believe that a Muslim who realizes that actually has low self-esteem. How is it possible that we have so much of this in my practice? I get so many people coming in with low self-esteem. Even if life is crushing you, even if circumstances and people are crushing you, if you believed that you were designed for the best, you know you're in the best in handling somebody else's attitude or life's circumstances. When we realize that things that happen to us also are very clearly explained by Allah in Surah Baqarah 155, where He says that, and wala nabluwannakum, where He says, Allah says, and be sure I will test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of goods and lives and the fruit of your efforts. He bullet points what He's going to test us with. So why are we so confused about whether things are a punishment or a test if He Himself, Allah Himself, is claiming it to be a test? And then we say, life feels like a punishment. Guess what? There's a solution for that too. Because Allah has said in Surah Ibrahim, ayat number 7, why would life feel like a punishment? He tells us what we do to make it feel like a punishment, and He tells us what we have to do to make it feel like increased bliss for ourselves. We just have to look at what He said. Now, if I want to be the best, I'm going to speak to the master architect of my hardwiring, of my whole software and hardware system, and I'm going to regularly connect to that, to have my upgrades happen regularly. It's amazing how much attention we pay to our smartphone upgrades, eh? And our own personal upgrade doesn't even happen. But what's really nice is that they are available at will. And not even the next version and the next version. The best version is available to you immediately if that's what you want to upgrade yourself with. And all you have to do is connect to the Wi-Fi permanently. Nice thing about this Wi-Fi is you don't pay for data, you just stay connected. And as long as you're connected to this Wi-Fi, which is your taqwa, your Allah awareness all the time, and connect to Him in the manner that we say, you know, just saying I think of Allah all the time is not real taqwa, actually, because sometimes your taqwa is on other things. Your taqwa is your attention, your consciousness, your focus. So Right now, my taqwa is on you two beautiful ladies sitting here in front of me while I'm speaking. But underlying all of that, my connection taqwa is that I will speak from Allah, not for Allah. I'm not going to say Allah wants us this to be like this and Allah wants us to be like that. I'm going to say in the Quran, Allah has said. Because now I'm clear about who I have to really be and how I have to really be. Because now I have the master information from the master himself. And our life coaches, alhamdulillah, I know we call ourselves all these fancy labels. Well, I have only one life coach in my life, and that is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who I am ardently in love with. And may Allah make us all have that love for him more and more. Increasingly, may he increase. I know people who love him even way better than I do. But if I love him that much, then I want to be like him. I don't want to just say it. My actions will demonstrate my love. And Abd of Allah does not have to say I'm an Abd of Allah. Their very behavior, their presence, their mannerisms says that they're an Abd of Allah. So real Abd of Allah and real follower of the coach, our master coach, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they don't even have to tell you that's who I am. You look at it and you say, oh, that must be somebody who is a Muslim. That must be a person who follows the best of the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That must be a person who is a slave of Allah. Because there's complete submission. And next time, inshallah, we'll explore what exactly submission is and how we slip into this whole, I mean, like I told you about my kalima, and I'm going to round off with this. The reason I'm saying with all these people in around the world can tell me I'm the best because they want me to feel nice. Allah told me I'm the best because He designed me for it. Which one am I going to believe more? Now my kalima is more real, because if I say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, looking at the La ilaha part, if I say no Allah but Allah, then why am I saying, if I say, oh, you know what, guess what, Anthony Robbins said I'm the best, then my kalima is La ilaha illal Anthony Robbins. If my madrasa appa told me to fast, then I say La ilaha illal my appa. If I'm looking at some other version of teaching and I'm not getting connected to what Allah said, and I'm not being told, or no, I'm not looking at what Allah is saying to me, and how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave expression to it in his living, then how is my kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? It's, my kalima is La ilaha everything else but Allah Muhammad Rasulullah. So if I know that, if I've been given this, if I was given the manual and I was given the demo model in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what more do I need for my excellence? If we really were Muslims, or a quarter of the world's population now is Muslim, if really we were doing that, then how come it's so messy? How come we're all so in despair? How come we're so confused? How come we don't know what to do? How come we don't know how to handle marriages? How come we don't know how to handle our children anymore? How come we don't know how to handle ourselves, our own depressions anymore? So that's what we're going to explore, inshallah. And I have to thank you two ladies, because I don't know, sometimes I don't know where the words come from, but I think you inspired it out of me. I just think it was the most apt thing to start this weekend with. So you've just made my weekend.
Alhamdulillah. We're going to have to leave it off there, inshallah. Let's go for an ad break, inshallah. When we return, we conclude our program with the informal scoop with Laika Idris. Yes, and as you've heard there, it's already the end of our program once again this Friday afternoon. With every promo that tells us that the informal scoop is up next, it actually also signifies the fact that our program has come to an end once again. Unfortunately, I know I did promise you that inshallah we will be chatting about, or rather not chatting, but having our segment on back to basics, on wudu and the ibadah that wudu is, but we didn't get to do that this week. Inshallah, we will cover that next week. If you didn't catch it, we had Sister Safiya Musa in studio with us, an NLP practitioner, and she was speaking to us about how each and every human being is actually a masterpiece of Allah's creation, and how you can use yourself, the masterpiece of Allah's creation, to lift your mood each and every day. And so alhamdulillah, that was accepted, or I should say the listeners really enjoyed it. And the reason I say this is because alhamdulillah, many a listener sending me messages saying that it was really great. They've feel so inspired now that each of them have heard how Sister Safiya put that across. Well, let me not keep you much longer. As I said, it is the informal scoop with Laika Idris. So up next, inshallah, we're going to have Laika. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Laika.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So as usual, we have two stories today. And going on to our first story, a pink taxi, woman only. A pink taxi woman-only service has been launched in Karachi. The service only caters for female customers to create a safe environment for them. Hence, the pink taxis will be driven by women. Customers will be able to call pink taxis by phone, a mobile app, SMS, or simply by just hailing one on the street. The drivers include young women and students, as well as housewives, and their uniform is pink scarves with a black coat. According to a report released by Karachi's Urban Resource Center, 55% of women in Karachi who use public transport felt insecure and faced harassment. Some districts in the east have been rated as the most unsafe for female commuters. One of the recruited taxi drivers, Noor Jahan, said that there was a strong need for such a service because women need to think twice before getting into a vehicle driven by a man. The pink taxi service, which has been dubbed Taxi, will extend its reach to Lahore and Islamabad in a few months. And that brings us to the end of our first story. Tying in with the same story, it's along the same lines. Women in Gaza are taking the role as family breadwinners and breaking cultural norms as they strive to make ends meet. Gaza has the world's highest unemployment rate at 42%. Women only make up 14% of the workplace, whilst men make up 71%. But many women are trying to close the gap. Gaza's first female bus driver was called Uncle Salwa because children thought that only men drive buses. Salwa Sroor is the first female bus driver in the city and decided to take on the job after hearing parents complain about male drivers being too impatient. After being a driver for 5 years, Sroor feels encouraged by people around her. Gaza's only fisherwoman is 22-year-old Madeline Gulab, and she says that she does not know if she will return home when she goes out to sea because Gaza's fishermen get shot at when they are at sea from opposition forces for absolutely no reason. It has been nearly a decade since 22-year-old Gulab took over her father's role after he was diagnosed with a terminal illness. Gulab and her two brothers leave home at 3 a.m. every morning to set their nets out. There are a lot of risks associated to the job, but she does it because she needs to, since she is the family's only breadwinner. However, she hopes to study and leave this occupation that she describes as deadly. The only female blacksmith in Gaza is 37-year-old Aisha Ibrahim. This is her source of income and provision for 7 children. It is a struggle every day to put out food on the table, and although more than half of Gaza's population relies on United Nations food aid, Ibrahim's family does not qualify because they cannot prove that they are refugees. For the past 20 years, she has been collecting pieces of metal from streets and destroyed houses, shaping them into tools and cutlery, which she sells at the marketplace. It takes approximately 3 days to actually make one piece. Ibrahim's conditions are harsh, but she strives to continue for her children so that their future is better. And these were our top 2 female stories for the week, and that's a wrap from me, Laika Idris, on the Informal Scoop. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Laika, once again for bringing to us those informative stories with a feminine flavor to them. Alhamdulillah, as always, every week the stories leave us pondering, wondering, and make us also realize that being female can mean many things. Among them, it can mean that you can have your independence and at the same time not convene the limits of the Sharia. So, subhanallah, jazakallah khair once again for that. And in order for us to wrap up the program today, I'm just going to share with you once again those contact details that you must have heard during the ad break. So sometime later tonight, inshallah, I will post the podcast of the program up on my Facebook and my Twitter accounts. My Facebook page, Zakira Ansarmia, and my Twitter handle, Zakira Ansarmia as well. If you would also like to, and if you have any queries and questions with regard female masail, then you can send them through to the number 061-406-2688. And alhamdulillah, many women week on week do the send their questions through, and when I do actually get a chance, I am able to then answer those questions for you. It is my pleasure to have been able to keep you company for the past hour. I do hope that you enjoyed the
program. And until we meet again next week, same place, same time, I bid you farewell and request your du'as. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.